You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on WJFF.
And that's my mother, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
Today's guest is Adam Schlesinger from the bands Fountains of Wayne and Ivy, and from television's The Ambiguously Gay Duo.
Still don't know what I was waiting for, and my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man. To be a different man, thou may change me, but I can't trace.
The show is like Mother, Like Son?
Yes. That's right, with
really?
A question mark.
With a question mark.
This is Like Mother, Like Son.
A collaborative effort between Ramsey Adams and Patricia Adams.
We're talking today with Adam Schlesinger, who's an Oscar and Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter who is an artistic force in two popular bands, Fountains of Wayne and Ivy. And his title song for the 1996 Tom Hanks film, That Thing You Do, earned him an Oscar nomination for Best Original Song in a Movie.
And we're going to be listening to Nothing But the Sky from the band Ivy with Dominique Durand. And also, we're going to be hearing Stacey's Mom. And I'm particularly looking forward to talking to Adam about this one. Hi, Adam.
Hi.
I'm Patricia Adams, and I'm particularly interested in talking to you right away about your song, Stacey's Mom. I understand that it was recorded on your album, Welcome Interstate Managers, is that right, in 2003?
It was on the Fountains Wayne record,
right.
Welcome Interstate Managers, yeah.
Right. Well, obviously I'm interested in the song partially because I'm a mom, and I listen to the lyrics carefully. And
she's got it going on, by the way. Let me
I don't know if you can say that about your own mom.
Well, I'm interested in the fact that you could write this song in 2003 and perform it. The only song I remember about a mother from my generation was Joan Baez singing The Silver Dagger. And in that song, the mother was going to kill the lover if it came around.
That's
so,
definitely a different angle.
Different.
I think we were thinking more along the lines of Mrs. Robinson or something.
That's right. That's the other possibility. But do you think that you, because it was 2003, you were more able to kind of, you know, the character who sings the song is pretty self-aware. He says, I know you think it's just a fantasy, but, you know, I'm grown up now. I'm doing pretty well. I kind of like that character. So I'd like to hear how you came to him.
Well, I mean, it's a made-up story, but there's a little bit of my own history in it. For one thing, I used to have a lawn mowing service when I was a kid, when I was in middle school, and so there's a line in the second verse about...
You missed that spot over there?
Yeah, just this whole scene of mowing the lawn. I was thinking back to my own suburban childhood and
right.
I guess the fantasies of being, you know, 12 years old and mowing a lot of lawns
right.
for a lot of women.
Right.
But actually, the original impetus from the song came from a friend of mine who... told me that he thought my grandmother was hot when we were each about 12, and I couldn't write a song about the grandmother. I had to tone it down a little bit, but that's actually where the initial idea came from.
Maybe in the next generation you can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who knows? These grandmothers
yeah.
are getting
hot. I
was
hot. Stepping over the line even in 2003.
Give me the slip.
You
That, of course, was Stacey's Mom from the Fountains of Wayne, of which Adam Schlesinger is a founding member and bass player. And that comes off of the Welcome Interstate Managers, which was released in 2003, received two Grammy nominations.
Your grandparents were actually professional musicians, right?
That's right. And they lived in Syracuse for most of their lives, but they played in the Syracuse Symphony. And my grandfather was a professor at Syracuse University, a music professor, and then they became concert promoters and brought a lot of cultural events to Syracuse. And so I got exposed to a lot of music through them, seeing music and hearing music. And, so, yeah, there's been a lot of music in my family for several generations.
And it seems to have created for you a nice variety of music. I mean, your own music is sometimes called, you know, back to the 80s or even the 60s sometimes. I mean, you bring elements into what you're doing in today. So that rich background, I guess, in your family has made a big difference, and also what you heard as a kid growing up, not only
so,
in your
yeah.
parents'
I mean,
house, but in
I've definitely been exposed to all kinds of different music, and I studied classical music as a kid and jazz, and I've listened to all different generations of pop music, so, I have a very open mind, even though our band sort of focuses on one aspect of it.
Right.
I like all kinds of different stuff.
Well, it really is reflected in your immense catalog of music, movie themes, television themes, pop, rock. I know you've done a lot of jazz. Are you sort of a Renaissance musician? I mean, you'll sort of can do anything and like to do anything, or
well,
is it?
I don't know if I'm a Renaissance musician, but I'm definitely a bit of a chameleon in the sense that I think I can sort of pick up on a lot of different styles. When I first sort of started trying to make a living as a musician, my attitude was just to be as involved in as many different things as I could and try to get as much experience as I could. So even now, I like switching gears a lot. I like writing on different kinds of assignments and for different kinds of projects. It keeps it all interesting for me.
I find it interesting, your lyrics and the way you think about words and the variety of words. In one of your interviews, I know you talked about writing about work, the working man's world, sort of, and that in everyday life. And that is really an essential part of all of our lives. And you do that very well without making it boring.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was definitely sort of a theme of that last Fountains of Wayne record. There's a bunch of songs on there that are kind of set in the workplace or about working people. And there's two songwriters in the band, Chris Collingwood and myself, and sometimes without really planning on it, we end up writing about similar subjects, and that was a case of that happening. You know, we didn't really map it out, but we both came in with a batch of songs that had that in common.
Right. I'd like you to talk just a little bit about Little Red Light, about the Tappan Zee Bridge and remembering a lover because of little gadgets in the car. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That was a song that just started out by, I really just wanted to put the Tappan Zee Bridge in a song, and so I kind of started pre-associating this scene of this guy stuck in traffic, and then it turned into this, you know, to this song about the guy being constantly reminded of this painful breakup because he keeps checking his email and his answering machine, hoping that, you know, she's trying to get back in touch with him, but she never does. And so it's sort of taking a very, you know, classic pop theme and trying to put a little modern spin on it.
Great variety of images from Stacy's mom to the Tappan Zee.
Well, thank you.
Adam, you are successfully juggling two immensely successful bands, you know, essentially rock bands, you know, the Fountains of Wayne and Ivy. And to me, that's an amazing accomplishment. I'm just curious how you have achieved that ability to maintain positive relationships with both those, you know, one's a trio and Fountains of Wayne's got four people in it, right?
Right, right.
And so there's seven people that you're working with constantly. You've been successful. That means a lot of business decisions and touring. How do you do that?
You know, for the most part, it's worked out sort of organically over the years. I mean, both bands have coexisted for coming up on about 10 years. And most of the time, it just kind of happens naturally because when, you know, an album cycle for one of the bands is ending, another one is picking up. It did get a little hairy in the last couple of years just because Fountains of Wayne got really, really busy after Stacy's mom happened, and that whole album was sort of doing better than we had done before. So it kept us on the road for longer. And so Ivy got definitely put on the back burner more than it had before. But I think it was okay. You know, we managed to get an Ivy record done anyway. We just had to kind of plan a little bit more in advance for when the three of us were all in New York at the same time. And I think in both bands, there's a general sense of everyone being free to do whatever they want to do with their lives. And, you know, we don't have that gang mentality where if you do something outside the band, you're perceived as a traitor. I think the opposite. We all see it as healthy and fun, and everybody does what all kinds of different things.
Could I ask you something about Ivy?
Sure.
As a songwriter, I mean, I don't know all of your songs, but a lot of your songs obviously come from the male perspective. But aren't you also now writing for Dominique Durant and a female voice? So?
Yeah, that's right. And when I write a song for Ivy, I definitely start by thinking of something that she'd be comfortable singing, which is a completely different thing for what Chris Collingwood from Fountains of Wayne might want to sing. I've always enjoyed collaborating with people more than trying to be a front person myself, and part of what I like is trying to write something that I can imagine this other person singing. And, you know, with Ivy, it's much more about mood and texture and sort of evocative imagery and less about storytelling in a literal sense. And it's also, you know, because Dominique is originally French, you know, she's not comfortable singing a million words a minute, like Chris might be able to pull off in Fountains of Wayne. With her, it's the melodies usually have to be slower and more dreamy and kind of fewer words.
Okay, and now we're going to listen to Nothing But the Sky by Ivy.
And that was Nothing But the Sky from the band Ivy by Adam Schlesinger.
You use computer interfaces to compose and write music, or you use a pen and paper and a guitar?
I use computers in a lot of the process. I mean, I use a word processor when I'm writing lyrics, and certainly the recording process now is very computer-based. You know, everybody uses Pro Tools, which we use on a Macintosh. But and in terms of actually writing the music, I usually write just on an acoustic guitar or a piano. I try not to write too much in the studio. I try to, you know, sort of have a song pretty much together before I go in, because I find sometimes you can get distracted by all the bells and whistles and forget that you actually have to write a melody and some lyrics.
Well, asking about the technique of the way you write, I'm interested in the part of the brain you use when you're doing something for Ivy or Fountains of Wayne, or the TV commercial, I mean, the more commercial things that you do. Where do you start with those different, really different things, from jingles to really romantic music?
Well, I sort of have to convince myself that anything I'm working on is a bit of an assignment with a deadline, even if it's for my bands. You know, I don't like the feeling of just kind of sitting around indefinitely waiting for my muse to strike. I kind of sometimes I'll even book studio time and just say, well, I've got to have something written by Thursday because I've already booked some time, and just keep a little bit of pressure on myself to deliver something. And you know, obviously if it's a commercial or a TV theme or something, then it's very clear what they're looking for and they tell you in advance. And you don't really have time to get too worked up about it. You just have to do it. And sometimes it helps even with songwriting to treat it like that.
You were nominated for an Oscar with the song That Thing You Do from Tom Hanks' 1996 film, and you have composed radio and TV themes including The Howard Stern Show, Crank Yankers, Saturday Night Live's TV Funhouse, The Man Show, and just recently Too Late with Adam Carolla. That's an amazing list of TV and film themes and shows. How did you go from a rock band to a TV theme composer and film composer? It's a very interesting.
Well, you know, on a certain level, it's all just music, and it's all just writing music for different purposes. So, in terms of the work that's actually being done, I don't really see it as all that different from one thing to the next. But I originally got into the TV thing through a friend of mine named Stephen Gold, and he and I have been working together in a lot of different ways since the early 90s. I mean, he actually now plays keyboards in Fountains of Wayne when we tour, but originally when I met him, he was running a thriving TV composition house, and it was actually called Compositions, and I was just looking for a break into that business and looking for ways to earn some money from music. We had a kind of mutual acquaintance who hooked us up, and Stephen gave me a chance to demo some stuff for him and try some work on some small jobs, and we hit it off really well. We ended up getting hired to do a couple of TV shows right away together. We worked on a show called The Dana Carvey Show, which was a sketch comedy show, as you can imagine, starring Dana Carvey, that lasted, you know, a few episodes.
Well, that was a great show. I liked it.
Yeah, it was funny, and a lot of people from that show went on to, you know, be great connections for us, including Robert Smigel, who you know, does all the cartoons on Saturday Night Live and does Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. And, you know, that show had incredible, talented people working on it. Stephen Colbert was also a writer on that show. And a lot of guys that went on to write for other, you know, sitcoms and stuff. So we did that, and we did a show for John Leguizamo called House of Buggin', which is another sketch comedy show that was only around for a season. But, you know, since then, we've collaborated on all this stuff, and we have a really good partnership. And I think between the two of us, you know, we bring a good set of skills to that includes sort of getting the sense of humor that's needed, but also being able to deliver any kind of music that's called for.
In writing the Funhouse theme, and tell us a little about that process.
Stephen and I, we've always worked really well with Robert Smigel, who is actually a very musically inclined guy, and sometimes will call us up and kind of sing something half formed to us, and sometimes we'll just leave it to us. But we did. I don't know if you ever saw a cartoon that he did called The Ambiguously Gay Duo, but Stephen and I were actually the Ambiguously Gay Duo. We're the voices of that.
The Ambiguously Gay Duo.
What do we do, Wade?
They're outnumbered, Lifetime Companion.
hop on and hold tight. Now what's everybody looking at?
Nothing!
What do they mean by companion? Tune in next week, same ambiguous time on
The Ambiguously Kangaroo.
Advice for the rock star wannabes out there is to really try to get your music out there then? Is that one of the, I mean, besides being talented and writing great music, which I think is probably the most important thing, but...
I think that's kind of the truth, to be honest. I mean, you know, Chris and I had been playing music together since college, and I think that when the music got good enough, things happened for us much more quickly. I mean, it was never that difficult to get tapes in people's hands and to get them around. I think that honestly, it took us a while to figure out how to do something that was really original and interesting, and you know, somewhat commercial at the same time. I think, as a lot of people do, when we started out writing songs, they were very derivative. I mean, they were sort of, you know, in terms of craft, we sort of knew what we were doing even when we were young. But in terms of doing something that didn't just sound like an imitation of our heroes, it took us a little while.
Adam, I want to ask you one last question on my end, and that is, what's next? What can we get? What do we look forward from Adam Schlesinger? Fountains of Wayne, Ivy, TV themes. What's coming down the pike?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff in various stages of completion right now. I mean, we're starting to get into a new Fountains of Wayne record, so we hope to have that out sometime next year. I was hired to write a musical, a Broadway musical called Cry Baby, which is based on a John Waters movie, Cry Baby.
That should be really interesting.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's kind of being workshopped right now, and they're hoping to have that up and running, if they're lucky, next year. And
do you work closely with John Waters, or are you sort of independent of that particular, you know?
Well, John Waters is sort of he has veto power over everything. He's not actually directing it, but he...
Okay.
You know, he's definitely involved in the process. The book is actually being written by Tom Meehan and Mark O'Donnell, who wrote Hairspray.
Okay.
and a bunch of other shows. And you know, these guys are really sort of the top of the Broadway world. And the guy that I'm collaborating with on the songs is a guy named David Javerbaum, who's a lyricist who is also head writer for Jon Stewart for The Daily Show.
Oh, great.
And he's, you know, just a really brilliant, funny guy. And so we've had a lot of fun working on that. And you know, I hope that all comes together for next year.
It sounds like you're doing a lot of terrific things. It's been a lot of fun to talk to you.
Oh, and, it's been nice to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much, Adam.
Okay.
You know, here's a guy who has done... He's got two bands. He's done themes for some of the most, you know, important pop culture shows, you know, The Man Show and Howard Stern and Crank Yankers. And he's got a smash hit in the song Stacy's Mom. And he's got his band Ivy is licensing their music, you know, to film and television. And, you know, basically, I'm jealous.
No, I don't blame you. I'm jealous, too. One thing I liked about his the way Adam talks is his practicality. And there's something wonderful about somebody who's such a great artist, obviously, that's also kind of practical and down to earth. And he says, you know what, I work better with deadlines, and I can do, you know, if I get an assignment, I can do it. You know, none of this hair-pulling artistic agony. He doesn't talk that way at all, and yet his output is just absolutely remarkable.
Well, we asked him what advice he had. Well, it wasn't quite phrased that way, but, you know, what was the key to his success? You know, and of course, I was hoping for some little, you know, trick. And he said that it was strictly the music was good. And so I think that one of the lessons for all you rock star wannabes out there is you better get your chops up, because it's about the music, according to Adam Schlesinger.
And the mother's advice is work hard. You will do well. And obviously he has worked hard for many years and been really accomplished musician. Thanks for listening to Like Mother.
Like Son.
That's my son, Ramsey Adams.
And that's my mom, Patricia Adams.
Good night.
Good night.
Still don't know what I was waiting
to learn more about Adam Schlesinger and his music, you can visit www.fountainsofwayne.com and www.thebandivy.com. Our show is produced by Mark Sutton, and you can visit us on the web at www.likemotherlikeson.org. That's www.likemotherlikeson.org.
I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it.